If you've seen photos of friends or celebrities posting selfies with silver hair and wrinkles lately, it's not the relentless news cycle. They probably used FaceApp. The app can make your face look older, younger, even style your hair. It can be fun. But lawmakers warn users to take precaution. The Democratic National Committee warned presidential campaigns against using it. And Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer has called on the FBI to investigate. He posted this on social media about FaceApp.
It allows, quote, perpetual, irrevocable, and worldwide license to your photos, name, or likeness. So this is a breathtaking and possibly dangerous level of access.
Louise Matsakis is a staff writer at Wired Magazine and joins us from New York. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
In your judgment, is FaceApp really more compromising than Facebook or Instagram, who have billions of users already?
Absolutely not. I think that one thing to consider here is that this is a much smaller company, and Facebook has argued in the past that they're better at protecting your data because they, you know, inherently have more resources. But I don't think that this FaceApp is necessarily more controversial or troubling because it happens to be made by developers who are Russian. I think that's where kind of the anxiety from lawmakers comes from here. FaceApp, like a lot of these free apps, their business model is around advertising. You know, they're sending some of your data to the Google ad networks. Mm-hmm. That's what they want here. That doesn't mean it's not troubling for other reasons, but I think lawmakers here are maybe fixating on the wrong issue.
Why is it troubling for other reasons?
I think we should be really careful about who we want to share our faces with. This information is really sensitive. It's not something, like Schumer pointed out, that they're going to give back to you. You know, they maintain the rights to these images and they can do what they want with them. But the reality is we're sharing our facial recognition data with so many companies. And a lot of time we don't have a lot of control over that. So it's really not just this app, even though it's, you know, called FaceApp. So it seems really literal. But when you upload pictures to dating sites, to Facebook, to, you know, photo sharing sites like Flickr or Instagram, you're probably in a facial recognition database and you don't know it already.
I got to tell you, I've been taking pictures of our 16-year-old since she came into our lives. Is it already too late for her?
Probably. And it's too late for what Georgetown University estimates is probably over half of Americans who are already in a facial recognition database as it stands. So, you know, that includes when you get a license, right? You know, that license database might be used by the government to create a facial recognition algorithm. That includes maybe a dating profile that might be used to identify your gender or something. You know, researchers from Stanford in 2017 actually took photos from a dating network, and they used it to build a very controversial tool that claimed to identify people's sexuality just based on their photo. So, you know, the people who were on that dating site had no idea something like that was going to happen.
Do companies ever lose control of the data? I mean, that happens with credit card information all the time, doesn't it?
Sure. And it's not even just losing control. A lot of time these databases are widely available. They're made public to academic researchers and to corporations in order to foster more scholarship. So a lot of these photos are just out there, even if there isn't a data breach to begin with. These big training sets are already available to a wide array of different actors who want to use them to build tools that they can use to do whatever they want.
Is there any way to stop this? Any way to take steps, even if it's too late, to protect your images?
Definitely. I think making sure that your profiles are not public is a good way of doing that. That's really hard because dating profiles, for instance, are inherently public, right? You want other people to see them. But I think really thinking about, do I need to upload this picture right now? Is this worth the risk that it poses by uploading it? Do I really need to post a lot of pictures of me maybe publicly on Twitter or something like that? Or would I rather just have kind of a private Facebook group where I share pictures of my daughter?
Even if FaceApp isn't as dangerous as some political figures caution, is it good that this conversation, if you please, has been set off?
Definitely. I think this is really great that this conversation is centering on your face, which is such a valuable piece of data for these companies that are building these algorithms, often for troubling purposes like law enforcement or that sort of thing, or identifying people and perhaps identifying you. And I think that's really an important part of this conversation, even though maybe this app is a little silly.
When you say it's troubling that law enforcement could use it, I mean, if you're looking for someone who committed a violent crime against someone you love, you're glad to have that technology. On the other hand, if you're a dissident in Hong Kong, you're not glad to have that technology.
Exactly. I think these conversations always involve a trade-off between privacy and security, and we kind of haven't really figured out that balance with facial recognition data yet. And I think another concern is that a lot of these algorithms have been proven to be inaccurate. You know, people have been arrested for crimes they didn't commit because the algorithm, you know, mistakenly identified them. So I think that's another piece that's really important here.
Louise Matsakis of Wired, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks again.